Good morning, brethren. Good morning to, or good afternoon, or good day for those listening in. It is a much nicer day today than what it's been during the week. It's a little cooler and makes you feel a little better. As was said in the opening prayer, where Mr. Paloma asked God to help us with His Spirit and help us to use that Spirit and put it to use. And that's exactly what I'm going to talk about this morning. And for those who want a title, the title I've given this is The Power You Have with God's Holy Spirit. And as we live day to day, week to week, year after year, many of us have been here for many years now, we go about our daily lives, and often we find ourselves into what I call the doldrums. We go about our life, doing the things we do, we get into a routine, and go through the week with a routine. We do our daily prayers, we get up, we read the Bible, either morning or evening we read the paper, we go to work, come home, and we get a routine that goes over and over. And sometimes we don't realize it, but we drop. We get there and we kind of drop into what I call doldrums. We go to church, we go home, and we're doing the things we should be doing, but sooner or later, a few days, a week goes by, maybe 3 or 4 months, and one day we come to a realization, I am in a rut. I'm in a rut. Where am I? And you realize, well, I am here in God's church, but I'm not worth much. I'm not important, nor of much help. We find ourselves in a lull. We get to the point where we say to ourselves, well, there's really nothing much that I can do. I guess I'll just go along, and we go on being that way, or we can come to the point, we just come to the point finally and just stop and realize and say to ourselves, stop. I say to myself, stop, Jerry. The rest of you say, stop to yourself. Stop right here. Far from it. Far from it. We can't let ourselves think that. We can't think of ourselves as being unimportant and not of much help. We all are big helps here in this church. Big helps to each other. We have to come to truly visualize the great power that we can wield in the work of God, the great power that is available to us, and that is the power of God's Holy Spirit. So I have three ways which we can use to harness the overwhelming potential of the use of God's Holy Spirit. The first way is very simple. Follow the lead of Jesus Christ. Christ said, I can of my own self do nothing. And we can read this, John 5, if you'll turn there to John 5. John 5 and verse 30. And he says, Christ speaking here, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just because, now notice this, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. Now if you turn over a few pages to John 14, John 14, verses 10 through 14, John 14, 10, it says, believe not that I am in the Father and the Father in me. You know, he's asking the question. And the word words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwells in me, he does the work. He does the work. Believe me that I am the Father, and I am in the Father, and the Father in me. Or else believe me for the very work's sake. Believe me for the very work's sake. Truly, truly, I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and the greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. So Jesus said he could accomplish nothing of himself, just as we get that feeling that we are nothing, we can do nothing. We can't do anything to help in the work. Well, there is a work here. We have a work here in this time. And we are to follow Christ's examples. Jesus did great miracles. And he did those miracles by the power of God's Holy Spirit. Verse 12, he told us that we have the same potential and that we can and will do great works. And he says, believe me for the very work's sake. For the very work's sake. Well, that brings us to the second point, to where to use God's Holy Spirit, and that is to be humbled, to humble ourselves, to seek him as a little child. If you'll turn over to Mark. We've read this before many times. Mark 10, about the little children. Mark 10, starting in verse 13. And they brought young children to him that he should touch them, and his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased, and said unto them, suffer the little children to come unto me, or permit the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. Truly I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them. So a little child is innocent, isn't he? We are to be like that. Be humble as a little child. A little child doesn't hide his thoughts, but he will boldly go to his parents and will ask questions, as we should also, to use God's Spirit, we need to boldly go to him and ask. And ask that God will use us. The child wants to know, wants to learn. We will be the same way with God's Spirit as he called us, and he wants us to learn, and he wants to be with us and to please and help us to be pleased with what we have. So we begin to learn, and God opens the mind slowly at first. For example, the Sabbath. One of the first things I heard about, took me a while to realize what it was. And then the holy days, God's commandments, they're still in effect. And the big one, prayer. Then more growth and knowledge comes when we begin to understand. God gives us an understanding by being humble. So we begin to understand stronger things, such as the Spirit of God. What is it? Spirit of man. What about prophecy and our purpose and our full potential, what it is? We begin to learn because we've humbled ourselves and asked God to help us to grow. And as we grow, God will open our mind to more and more understanding. And that is incredible, that understanding the true purpose of what God has in his creation, giving us true knowledge and wisdom. We, brethren, we're here and we've been given knowledge more than all the brilliant minds of the world society and in their universities. They don't have the understanding. They don't have the brilliant understanding that God's given us. They may have brilliant minds, but they don't have the understanding. And we get this by seeking God in prayer, humility, we study. And this leads us to know that we are important to God. And He has a plan for us, and He will use us. This brings us to the last point. We have to also show enthusiasm. This is the way we should approach or use God's Holy Spirit, with much enthusiasm, to really know that our prayers are heard by God, and to know that our prayers do help others. I know that for a fact. Many of you know that because you've been healed by the prayers, because of the prayers of the brethren in the church. God hears and answers us in our prayers. That is a good part of the use of the Holy Spirit. God knows all of our needs and our desires. And with enthusiasm, if we go and keep asking Him, He will help us to understand, which should give us more enthusiasm and desire. To know that He will give us the strength, and that He will see us through trials and difficult times. We have to show God that we are enthusiastic and that He has a purpose for what He allows to happen in our lives. We get in the messes. We have problems in and out of the church. But we have to be enthused. 1 Chronicles 29:17. Be turning there. 1 Chronicles 29. David tells us that God tries the heart and has pleasure in uprightness. That's in 1 Chronicles 29:17. And I'll read that. I know also, this is David talking, my God, that you try the heart and has pleasure in uprightness. As for me, in the uprightness of my heart, I have willingly offered all these things, and now have I seen with joy thy people, which are present here and offer willingly unto you. We are to be here with joy for those in this church who willingly offer and to worship with us. That should bring us great joy. David says again in Psalms 40:8, he says, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yes, your law is within my heart. And I thought it was a great example about enthusiasm last week that we heard from Mr. Tidwell. He started talking about the Feast of Tabernacles. My wife mentioned it to me too. But enthusiasm spreads. And we've been going along this summer and thought about the feast that much. At least I hadn't. I know it's coming up, but I didn't realize it was coming up that soon, which is, you stop and think about it. You know, about 6 weeks, something like that, 7 weeks. The Feast of Tabernacles will be here. Something we need to be enthused about. Something where we leave our homes and go. And I know he piqued my interest in it. And I've been thinking about, well, maybe I should get the map out and see how I'm going to go. What I'm going to do. I'm still going to be stuck pulling the church trailer. But I can just put things I can do. I can still have enjoy our time there. And sure, the times are going to be a little tough because of the way that the things end and the Sabbath and then the next day and then we're there. We can work around those things because we have to be enthused by the feast. So that was something to me that helped a lot. So with these points in mind, we can harness God's Holy Spirit. We will come to know that we have, each of us, an unlimited supply of it. We can't allow ourselves to fall into the doldrums. We have, as was said in the movie, what was it, Castaway? I have fire. We should have that fire in our hearts. We should have that fire with God's Holy Spirit. Because if we follow Christ's example, if we're humble before Him, and we show the enthusiasm that we should, that Spirit will work in us. It'll work with us, it'll show us, give us knowledge and understanding, and it'll give us so much that we won't even be able to contain it. That's the spirit we need to be working with.
Thank you, Mr. Fields, for that inspiring message. Brother, we have a chance to practice number three right now. We can sing praise to God enthusiastically. Let's take our hymn books and stand and turn to page number 116. I will sing to the eternal, page 116. Please be seated. For the announcements this morning, to introduce the special music and the sermon, our pastor, Mr. Don Billingsley.
Good morning, everybody. Well, we're not on camera today since we have a tape sermon. And another reason why I'm up here to give you the announcements. Anyway, hello to all of you who are listening in. We appreciate you, the fact of you're doing that in regards to the time of night or day that you're doing that. A few announcements to go through, and I'm going to go through them rather quickly because the sermon is 1 hour and a half long, and it means we're going to run over time just a few minutes. So, anyway. First of all, we'll announce the birth of a little baby. Nathaniel and Ashley Rice of Indiana are happy to be able to announce the birth of their new daughter, Tara Elizabeth Ann, and that was July the 29th. She weighs 7 pounds or 14 ounces, did at the time of birth. Elizabeth is the new granddaughter of Tony and Lisa Silver of Oregon. Ashley played the piano for us here some time back, some months ago, and she is very good at it. And really makes the, she played very enthusiastically, let me put it that way. And anyway, we appreciated that and look forward to her playing some for us at the Feast of Tabernacles. Prayer request, Claire Meyer's daughter, Becky, requests your prayers for her. She has symptoms of West Nile virus. Now this is something that's beginning to create a problem, especially here in the state of California. Not too far away, one man died. From here. So anyway, it's something that not to take lightly. She has symptoms of this. Hands are numb and her temperature was up to 105 degrees. So Becky, I think some of you remember Becky, and please remember to pray for her. a memorial service tomorrow, and I do not have the time of that. If somebody does here, please let me know. Do you? 10 o'clock. Okay, thank you. This is for Linda Kersey, Tom Kersey's wife, who died with cancer this last week. They were members of the Stockton Church when I pastored there. And for those of you from the Stockton Church will remember them quite well. Tom and Linda lived just down the road from us for a number of years, maybe about 8 miles, something like that. He had done a lot of work for me, especially in the construction of our home and the electrical part of it. And they're truly fine people. We're just sorry that they chose to be with another corporate group rather than being with us. But anyway, she's been battling cancer for a long time and finally succumbed to it just last week. So they had sold their home where they lived close to us and moved to Idaho, as I understand it. And so anyway, Tom is flying down this weekend and they're having a memorial service at the Shively home. At the Shively home tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock. So for those of you who would like to be there, I'm sure that there'd be no problem doing that. Let's see. Well, before the sermon today, which will be by Mr. Armstrong, titled "Sign of the End," it was given May the 3rd, 1980, which is 1 hour, 30 minutes, and 7 seconds. So that's right down to the second. So you set your clocks accordingly. And we have one very happy announcement that will take place during the Feast of Tabernacles, at least it's scheduled to be. And so it will be our first wedding at the Feast of Tabernacles, at least as the faithful flock. And so we appreciate the blessing of that. And this announcement, Richard and Janice Smith from Kansas, would like to announce the engagement of their daughter Kaylee Smith to Jody Lawson. They'll be married at Feast of Tabernacles October the 19th, 2005 at 5:30 p.m. followed by the semi-formal dance. Jody has a lot more nerve than I did. I would never have been able to do what he did last week. For those of you who heard about it, I don't know whether he ate a can of spinach or whatever he did to muscle up the strength to be able to do what he did, but chose the busiest restaurant in Modesto to have dinner with a number of other people, and he gets down on his knees and asks her to marry him. Yeah, I understand a number of people applauded. They were sitting around. Well, anyway, Kaylee was so nervous she could hardly eat her dinner, from what I understand. So, anyway, I have to, I don't know whether to commend Jody or what, but anyway, that took a lot of courage, I'll tell you for sure. There'd be very few men I think would be able to do that. They'd sure have to love a woman a lot to be able to do that. I'm confident of that. Well, anyway, special music though, first of all, before the sermon. And it's entitled "God is Most Gracious, Kind and Good," and it's from this 52nd Psalm by Dwight Armstrong, soloist is Peter Chevalier. And piano accompanied on tape. And again, Peter Chevalier, and then we'll have a sermon by Mr. Armstrong.
Subtle mischief and lies, like a sharp razor does your tongue speak, planning destruction against godly men. You despise good and evil do you love, falsehood to you prefer to speaking the truth. Why do you boast when God is most gracious, kind and merciful and ever loving and good. Since you trust in falsehood and your great wealth, God will remove you against godly men. Those who trust God shall see and be in awe. They shall laugh at you for your folly and pride. Oh, see the man who made God his throne. For he sought refuge in abundance of wealth. But in God's mercy, in his steadfast love, and his great kindness, in these do I trust. And in God's house, like an owl in